Chapter 20. I was a reporter on the morning call of San Francisco. I was more than that. I was the reporter. There was no other. There was enough work for one and a little over, but not enough for two, according to Mr. Barnes' idea, and he was the owner and therefore in the best place to know. By 9 in the morning, I had to be at the police court for an hour to make a brief history of the fights of the night before. They were usually between Irishmen and Irishmen, and Chinamen and Chinamen, with now and then a fight between the two races for a change. Each day's evidence was just like the evidence of the day before. Therefore, the daily performance was killingly dull. All the courts came under the head of the reporter regulars. They were the sources of information which never failed. During the rest of the day, we combed the two from end to end, gathering such material as we might wherewith to fill our required column. And if there were no fires to report, we started some. At night, we visited the 6 theaters, one after the other, 7 nights in the week, 365 nights in the year. We remained in each of those places 5 minutes, got the merest passing glimpse of plays and operas, and we wrote up those plays and operas, as the phrase goes, every night from the beginning of the year to the end of it, trying to find something to say about those performances which we had not said a couple hundred times before. After having been hard at work from 9 or 10 in the morning until 11 at night, getting material together somehow, I took the pen and spread it out in words and phrases and made it cover as much ground as I could. It was fearful, soulless work, and almost completely lacking in interest. It was awful slavery for a lazy man, and I was born lazy. I am no lazier now than I was 40 years ago, but that is because I reached the limit 40 years ago. Can't go beyond possibility. I was higher toned 40 years ago than I am now, and I felt a deep shame in my situation as slave of such a newspaper as the Morning Call. If I had been still higher toned, I would have thrown up my job and gone out and starved like any other hero. But I had never had any experience at being a hero. I had dreamed of heroism, like everybody, but I had no practice. And I didn't know how to begin. I couldn't stand to begin with starving. I had already come near to that once or twice in my life. Got no real enjoyment out of remembering about it. I knew I couldn't get another job if I resigned. I knew it perfectly well. Therefore, I swallowed my pride and stayed where I was. But whereas there had been little enough interest in my industries before, there was none at all now. I continued my work, but I took not the least interest in it. And naturally, there were results. I got to neglecting it. As I have said, there was too much of it for one man. The way I was conducting it now, there was apparently work enough in it for two or three. Even Barnes noticed that and told me to get an assistant on half wages. There was a man down in the counting room, good-natured, obliging, unintelligent, and he was getting little to nothing a week. He was a graceless boy who had no feeling for anybody or anything. He was called Smiggy McGlurl. I offered the job of assistant to Smiggy, and he accepted it with gratefulness. He went at his work with 10 times the energy that was left in me. He was not intelligent, but this quality was not required or needed in a morning call reporter, so he conducted his office to perfection. I gradually got to leaving more and more work to McGlurl. I grew lazier and lazier, and within 30 days he was doing almost the whole of it. It was also plain that he could accomplish the whole of it and more all by himself, therefore had no real need of me. Mr. Barnes discharged me. It was the only time in my life that I have ever been discharged. And it hurts yet, and I'm nearly in my grave. He did not discharge me rudely. It was not in his nature to do that. He was a large, handsome man with a kindly face and courteous ways, and was faultless in his dress. He could not have said a rude, ungentle thing to anybody. He took me privately aside and advised me to resign. It was like a father advising a son for his good. And I obeyed.